America and all of our listeners all over the world. You are listening to a post-Super Tuesday episode of Let's Weekend. I am your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me as always is Filippo Ninalfo, Patrick Mifflin, Teresa Salmons, and Chris Logie. Say hi, everybody.
Hey, or hello. Hi, or whatever.
Hi.
All right, yeah, so Super Tuesday came and went, and it basically didn't decide shit. Well, we all thought it was going to be like some big blowout, and nope, they're as tied as ever.
Yeah, no. A bunch of people who had no business being there dropped out, so at least there's that.
Yeah, it's now basically a two-person race.
What are you saying, Tulsi Gabbard's still not in this?
Oh, she's still in it, but nobody else gives a crap.
Well, she's waiting for the other two to drop from coronavirus.
Yeah.
And there you go.
Yeah.
She's in it the way the Detroit Red Wings are still in the NHL season.
Yeah. But, yeah. So, other than Super Tuesday, well, plague is spreading. Got some more COVID-19 news. It is going around. It is infecting a bunch of people. A bunch of people have died. The current administration are fucking witless assholes who have no idea how to fucking deal with this. You cannot protect yourself from this shit with vodka or, you know, masks
or bleach or
yeah.
Unless you're just getting drunk and not leaving the house.
Oh, well, that would work, but yeah.
Yeah. And also it's making a bunch of stuff happen to get, you know, canceled or postponed for a few months. God damn. You know, shit like this happens and
when it does, nobody knows how to deal with it.
Yeah. Also there's a giant asteroid that's hurtling towards the Earth. We're going to be fine.
Yeah.
According to NASA.
Yeah.
So, got that to look forward to. Ray Apocalypse. Can't get here soon enough. Also, we got your usual entertainment and trailers and shit like that. Start off, as always. We'll start off with what we've been up to this week. Phil, you start us off. What have you been up to this week?
Yeah, so I'm still going through The Wheel of Time. I'm in the second book now, about, you know, halfway through that. Still really enjoying it, and, you know, not really a whole hell of a lot to say that, since it's like the fifth time I go through the series, so
yeah
you get sick of me talking about it. But yeah, I've been doing some random gaming here and there. You know, found Fanatical, and I got a couple of bundles there that were really cheap, so yeah, they had a four-game bundle for $5 that had Atari Vault, Sherlock Holmes, The Devil's Daughter, The Surge, and Wonder Boy, The Dragon's Trap in it. So, yeah, pick that up. The Atari Vault is exactly what you expect it to be. Like Chris showed it to me the other day on PS4. I got it on PC, and it's the same thing. So, it's worth having. Apart from that, well, I'm watching Picard. I'm all caught up. That last episode was really fucking good. Not sure if Teresa, you're caught up yet.
Oh yeah, we watched it last night. Oh my god,
it was it crammed a lot into one episode.
It really did. I mean, it felt like a movie.
Yeah, you had
it was yeah,
yeah. Well, you got Commodore O, who's basically a magnificent bitch. It was nice to see Deanna and Will again.
It really was. As soon as they mentioned or Picard mentioned the girl's name, I knew. I knew.
Yeah. And the next one is looking like it's going to be pretty action packed because there's some shit going down on that Borg cube.
Yeah, I need to know like how that's going to be resolved there. You know, I there's a lot of things I didn't expect in last night's episode. Like, a lot.
Yeah. And that's kind of the mark of a good show. It's like it keeps you guessing. And
it is.
Yeah. And And finally, we figured out why Agnes is such a spaz.
Mm-hmm.
I had suspicions, but during the show, not before this show, but yeah. During this show, I was like,
Yeah, and yeah, so it's I'm really looking forward to next week. I think there's 10 episodes in the season, so yeah, home stretch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, I can't. Yeah, it's going to be a long time until Thursday.
3 more weeks to see how it all resolves and see if they go even further to a season 2, but, you know.
Yeah. Or at least we could watch Ready Room with Will Wheaton on YouTube in the meantime.
Yeah. So, yeah, so that's kind of been it for me. Yeah. So how about you, Pat?
Well, NHL 20, as always, we're about maybe a fifth of the way through the second season for the Utah Eagles, and we're about where we were at this point last season, so we'll see if they can pull it together and make a stronger run this year. But so far, at least they're giving themselves a chance to do it. Other than that, I've been once again expanding my music collection at work because I've been migrating some more of my music over there gradually. Been listening to a lot of Black Label Society this week. Primus, because I love some bass and I love some weird. And they have plenty of it.
See, Primus, when you get into Primus is a band that you get into them and it basically changes the whole way you look at music. Suddenly, there is music that is Primus and then there is music that is not Primus.
It's true. And in doing so, I may have also exposed several coworkers to it who were in no way ready for it. So that was fun. And then also some Corrosion of Conformity, you know, pretty standard heavy metal, hard rock stuff. Just, yeah. I had been listening to the same handful of bands for a few months at work, and I needed to expand my selection, so those were kind of the highlights of what I did that with. And that's pretty much been my week.
All right. Teresa, what about you?
Watching Picard, of course. God. Like, if you guys are even remotely into Star Trek, and even if, well, no, I mean, there's such a rich history behind it. I mean, if you've watched it before, you should watch it. It's awesome. Also listening still to the Trials of Apollo audiobook. And I'm getting a little frustrated with listening to the audiobook. I wanted to go faster. So I think I'm just going to read it this weekend. We'll see. Maybe. Maybe not. Not a lot in gaming other than my usual...
Civilization.
No, actually, this week I didn't get to do anything that wasn't on my phone. Nothing. It's been a work week. But... that being said, it's been a work week and my phone has gotten a workout. I did switch phones for about 16 hours, most of which I was sleeping through. I went right back to my Pixel 2 XL. And Scott is now the proud owner of an iPhone that I rejected. But other than that, I've been freaking out about coronavirus because it is very much in the wild here. And a couple of people in my office are in quarantine.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. One of which, and this is due to travel, one of which, the guy that I share the office with, had been doing tech support on that person's laptop. So in close contact and touching the laptop. And, you know, then he comes back in our room and he sits 6 feet away from me. But so far, we're both really healthy, so.
Yeah.
But. Stay hydrated and wash your hands. You'll be fine.
Right. Oh,
and
my God.
And don't touch your face very often.
Yeah.
No. And that one's a hard one because I'm always rubbing my eyes. So I've been wearing my glasses so I can't.
Yeah.
And that helps. But they did pass out sanitizer at work, which was nice. And they've been changing out the toilet paper roll holders Whereas they were kind of open, and then there was a shelf on top that you could put your phone there if you were really gross and into putting your phone on places that other people's. Yeah. Let's just leave it there. But now they have, they're switching out the toilet paper rolls into an enclosed case so that the spray from the toilet can't get on them.
Hmm.
So I don't know if that coincides with all this, but interesting. There's just a lot of interesting shit that's going on with coronavirus and the way that people are reacting, the way that they're not reacting. I went to Target the other night and there were almost no eggs whatsoever.
Eh.
Like, plenty of milk, plenty of alcohol, no fucking eggs.
Yeah, weirdly enough, you'd think alcohol would be the first thing to start disappearing.
Right?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I made sure we have some extra cat food and cat litter and toilet paper because, you know, supply issues. And nobody wants to be without toilet paper.
No.
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 Just no. I'll say one thing, though. If you want to help prevent getting sick there, well, help not get sick. One thing I found that's very helpful for me is vitamin D3. It's not actually a vitamin.
Yes.
It's a hormone.
Yes. It's the liquid formula, isn't that?
Well, I get it in 5,000 IU tablets.
Oh, okay.
About 125 micrograms per tablet, so it's not a lot. Just take it's a tiny little tablet. Take one each day, and it builds up over time in your system. So it acts as an immune booster. No woo or anything about that. It's just proven scientific fact.
That's part of blood tests now for physicals for most people.
Yep.
And my mom's on it because her doctor says she's vitamin D deficient.
Yeah.
So
nobody is because nobody gets it.
Right? I mean, well, unless you have the redheaded gene.
Yeah.
And then in some people with that gene, they actually can create their own fucking vitamin D without sunlight. Weird, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, that's... Humans are freaky. Nature's freaky.
Yep.
But yeah, lots of hand washing. And also, because we live in such a populated area and because it's in the wild, maybe we don't go to, you know, stuff like Picnic this year, which is a huge alternative rock fest. So, you know, things like that. Like, maybe we're not going to go to the indoor trampoline place, kid. I'm not taking you. F no. Not right now. So a lot of going outside for hikes or whatever, doing things where, you know, the air is a little freer and there's not somebody coughing on you 6 feet away.
All right. See, I eat a shit ton of kimchi, so I'm going to live forever.
I'm kind of a bitch, so I'm going to live forever.
Yeah.
Runs in the family.
All right, Chris, what about you?
So I have been doing PC shopping earlier this week. I got my federal tax refund check and got that deposited and started getting everything finalized, kind of talking to Phil a little bit about some things I should make adjustments to, and ordered that on Wednesday, everything but the hard drive, I think I ordered. On Wednesday, and amazingly enough, for free shipping, Newegg got everything but the CPU to me the next day, which is crazy shipping for the free thing they gave me, which is mainly because it shipped from Indiana, so it's literally hours away, but Amazon needs to take some lessons here, because whatever they're doing is not working. I think I'm still waiting on the CPU, which should get here tomorrow. And guess what? What came back in stock yesterday, Phil?
The 2700X.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, at this point, I wouldn't worry about it because, as far as performance,
I think essentially
it comes out in the wash.
Yeah, and essentially, I think when I purchased that one, they just gave me like a random, like, here's $30 off of this.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I don't know why, but whatever.
Okay.
But yeah, that's, that'd be nice to get all that stuff, in, and I'll put that together on stream on, Sunday night. So if you're up for, joining me for that,
yeah, I'll watch you put definitely, your computer together.
Yeah. Put that all together.
Yeah. Let's not do The Verge.
Yeah. I love the, that they don't even bother trying to hide the case box.
Hmm.
She's like, here's the box. You know what's in it. If you want to steal it, good luck with that. Because it's like, all right, this is like the one thing that you probably don't have boxes bigger than it.
Hmm.
Even though you deal with this all the time, you would think maybe you would invest in that. But nah, we're just going to put the shipping label on the cases box and just pray.
Hmm. They usually come through pretty good because you know, like the cases themselves are packed pretty well. So
yeah,
usually ends up working out.
Yeah, so that'd be nice to get that all together. Like, the only thing I need to really do now is just kind of get a list together of all the programs I need to make sure I get downloaded and all that for actual use, which won't take too long, but it'll be nice to have. So I'll basically have a NAND NVMe drive as the OS drive, the main one. Which will be nice. I don't know what sort of speed increase it'll be over a regular SSD.
Quite a bit.
About
2 gigabytes a second sustain.
Okay.
That's
definitely seems like a be good for the big games.
Yeah.
Especially. But yeah, that'll be nice. And I got the 4 terabyte, which is the only thing I didn't order from Newegg. That was Walmart.
Okay.
Because that was like 110, I think, for that.
Yeah.
Along the way, I was basically I had the order from my original the current PC I have, just kind of like looking at whatever the items are that are kind of around the same price that I paid for what I did then. And I came mostly within that. I think the graphics card was a little bit more expensive, and that's just because there's a shitload of them out there.
Yeah,
that can be hard to be just like, okay, what? Which of these should I get? Because there's, even of one specific model, there's like 6 or 7 different varieties at least, and the most ridiculous names.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because mine, let me see if I can pull up the name. Because it is like the, let's see, EVGA GeForce RTX 2600 or 2060 Super SE Ultra Gaming.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an EVGA name, all right.
Yep. And yeah, there's like the G-Scale Ripjaws V-Series 16 gig. It's just like, you guys have nothing to do, your team that comes up with the names. Just like, I don't know, we'll pick, it's like car names. Like, we'll just pick ridiculous shit because nobody cares anymore.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's that'll be nice to get that all together and see how it all goes. Should be too bad. I think I'll probably start the stream around 8. Give me a little bit more time.
Yeah.
So what do I have to do about the OS, Phil?
OS, basically get a USB key.
Okay.
Yeah, download the media creation tool from Microsoft.
All right.
And then it probably won't activate on its own, but there's you can get keys for Windows 10 for like $13.
Yeah, though I still have the disk for Windows 8.1. That is how that's what I installed on this PC, then upgraded to 10.
Yeah,
because they were doing the free upgrade. I don't know if they do that anymore or not.
They kind of do, but you have to have something, and since it's already associated with your other computer, you can't really transfer it.
Yeah.
So.
It seems weird that it isn't just like, oh, you have this attached to your accounts, you log in here, you can just use it.
Hmm.
It's like, that seems like the 2020 thing to do.
Yeah, it would be.
Of like, not just try to, charge you over and over again for the same OS. Because it's not like I'm going to sit here and be like, I got them running on two PCs. Screw you, Microsoft. It's Windows 10. And it seems like they're going to get to a point where it's just a free OS.
At some point.
And if you want to, if you want the extra features, they'll charge you for it. But the base level stuff 99% of people need is going to be perfectly fine for them. I think that's mainly it. Now I'll be able to actually use the FreeSync part of my new monitor. Though that only goes up to 75 frames per second.
Yeah.
Which isn't too much, but I'm guessing if I'm going to need games that are going to push this thing, it's going to be through Game Pass, I think, for right now.
Probably.
Game Pass and maybe whatever free stuff I've gotten on Epic Game Store.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Quake 2 RTX. Yeah. You can always play that for free.
Yep.
Yeah, nothing pushes hardware like a 20-year-old game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With ray tracing.
Yeah, that'll be fun to get the CPU tomorrow and then have to sit on it for a whole day. Just like, I can't do anything with this shit.
Yeah.
That'll give me time. I have to clean up this whole fucking space.
Yeah.
Give me some room to actually build it and not have just the fucking mess all around me.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, weather's been just it's crazy today because it was snowing, raining and snowing. And we got like ice caplets coming down as well, and then like 15 minutes of sun.
Wind as well? I mean, why
yeah,
not?
Yeah, some wind.
Mm-hmm.
But then I think Sunday is supposed to be in the 50s, and then Monday is high of 60.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't think the outside knows what to do. I mean, I saw an algae bloom in a pond that still was partially iced over.
I love going to the Weather Channel sites because if you have an ad blocker, they just replace all the numbers with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Like, it keeps going for as long as it can show it.
Yeah,
and it's like okay, good job. Making your site useless for people that don't want to get spammed with shit.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Be a high of 58 on Sunday, which, to be clear, yesterday was a high of 50. It was nice out.
Mm-hmm.
And today it's just like just shit all over you constantly.
Is back and forth.
Yeah.
It's hot and cold.
Yeah, so today was high in the 30s. Tomorrow's high in the 40s. Then the 50s, then 60s, then 50s, and maybe down to 40s. This stepladder of temperatures is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's it was sleeting on me yesterday, and I didn't have a coat. I mean, Google Routines tells me what the weather's supposed to be like in the morning.
It doesn't know what to do with you having a lake near you. The Great Lakes, where it's just like, all right, now it's like a kid with the weather system, like, all right, now it's snowing. Now it's raining. Now it's sleet. Throw some hail in there. All right, I'm born. Your son. All right, back to the snow. It's like, just pick one and stick with it.
Yeah.
But yeah, not been watching too much this week. I've been watching more King of the Hill. I'm in season 8, which is has some pretty good stuff, though. I just finished the episode where Bobby thinks his dad is rich. Ends up stealing his credit card to just buy a bunch of random shit, which ends with them driving their jet ski on the lake, which is just a pretty silly episode of somehow convincing the rest of the neighborhood that he's rich, and so they're just gossiping about him all the time. It's a lot of weird stuff in this season. But there was a nice one where Boomhauer's little brother is getting married,
mm-hmm.
which I believe was played by Brad Pitt, which is just hilarious to have one of the biggest actors and have him just do a Boomhauer voice for his entire time. And that's just a lot of good stuff there. And also, the SNL from last weekend with John Mulaney was great. He just continues to do his ridiculous shit. This one that was about how terrible LaGuardia is.
Mm-hmm.
set to the, at least started with Phantom of the Opera, with Keenan playing one of the pigeons that got hit by Sully's plane.
Oh, God.
Which was pretty good, because he's in a cast and has the mask on, the Phantom of the Opera mask on. What else was there? There was a good one about John Mulaney being an uncle whose nephew turns him into a meme that's all over the internet, which has a lot of funny stuff there. Has another great one is about The Sound of Music, where he plays Rolf talking to, I forget what the girl's name is, but alluding to how he's a secret Nazi. Then slowly over the course of the skit, he keeps getting older than her. Way the age difference keeps growing. Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff there. And then he plays Joe Biden in the cold open, which is some good stuff. But yeah, that was really good. And for games, been streaming a bunch. Skipped Sunday because I just wasn't feeling well. But did Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And so Tuesday, I streamed Dogfighter World War II. Mm-hmm. Which is a battle royale game that is on PS4 now. And it's basically a dogfighting battle royale game. So you're in a plane the whole time, and you get to pick what part of the map. There's 16 different spots on the map, part of a map that you can land on. There's 40 people. And so the... And the weird thing is there's like a circle that you just stay in or else you're taking damage, but when you get to the end game, it'll sometimes just be like, now it's on the opposite side of the map, and have everybody just try to race over there when it starts doing damage to you. And the combat works out pretty well. It doesn't look good. The mountains that are hanging around this area, it's mostly over the ocean, but there's sort of giant... like mountain structures coming out of the water, and they look like they removed all the textures from them and like lowered the polygons, like really like lowered it, so it just took up as little resources as it could. So there are times where I crashed into it and ended my run when I was just trying to like skate over it, or I was just wasn't paying attention, just crashed into it. That kind of stuff, but ended up winning two rounds, which was pretty cool. One was because the circle gotten pretty small, and the guy tried to get away from me and got out of the circle and just killed himself because he just took down his health really fast. And the other time, it did that thing where it moved the circle across the map, and I had more health than the other person. And so it just started taking down her health, and he just died before I did. It was like one of those things where I found a pretty good strategy for winning. So I had two wins there. It was kind of a lot of just making sure you have enough fuel, as you can pick up. The way you get items and stat boosts and such is from these blimps that are hanging around all over the place. And you shoot, they'll drop periodically, but if you also shoot them, they will drop some stuff. So you try to get, and specific colors have specific items. So like there's one for fuel, one for health pickups, and you just use them as you go. So if you just make sure you have enough health, you can sort of survive some hits and make sure you're not going to just get fucked up really easily. So that was pretty fun. That was a surprising game. And then I played on Wednesday Sonic Forces because it's on PlayStation Plus. I was like, I want to see what this game is. And at its best, it's okay. But there's some parts of it that are just kind of really stupid. The first boss fight against, I forget what the character's name, but it's basically a boss fight where he is basically just doing a ground stomp. And typically in platformers, you don't want to be on the ground when they stomp. Because that'll usually freezes you or something, or opens you up to attacks. And instead, it took me a while to figure out that, oh, you actually want to be on the ground because it sends you up into the air, at a point where you can then just do the targeted hits on the boss.
Yep.
Otherwise, you can't do any damage to him at any other point. So I was really doing this loop of dodging the first three waves, then he slams on the ground. I was like, why am I not able to hit him anywhere?
Yeah.
It's just a stupid loop. It's just a really poorly made boss. The second one was against Eggman, mm-hmm. playing with Classic Sonic. So I had the very first, it was basically styled like the very first boss fight against Eggman and Sonic the Hedgehog. So you kind of got the him and his ship with the swinging mace there,
mm-hmm.
that kind of thing. But then it turns into a whole different thing where he's got this giant robot that is throwing a bunch of shit at you. And you have to dodge it and knock the right things back at him to whittle down his health, which isn't too bad, but it's kind of a boring fight for the most part once you figure out what you're doing. And you know, the rest of the game is just like, you're just going through stages, doing things. Occasionally you have to play with your avatar, which you get to make your own like Sonic character, which mm-hmm. I just made Corrin from Dragon Ball.
Mm-hmm.
A white cat with the squinty eyes. And there's a lot of stupid clothing.
Oh, so yeah.
You get this version, you get all the DLC, I believe.
Uh-huh. So
you get like, there's like a knight's outfit you can put together, one of II from Super Monkey Ball, and I think one of, I forget what the other ones might be. But then as you're just beating stages and completing these like challenges, they'll give you free stuff. And I got to the point of just having this really dumb outfit where you have a big yellow hat that just says gamer on it. So I just put all the dumbest shit I could onto him. There's like a Jet Set Radio shirt you have that has Japanese writing on it. So I was like, yep, that's what a guy wearing a gamer hat would wear for a shirt. All this kind of stupid shit. And it has like daily challenges too,
mm-hmm.
which is weird. It was like simple stuff. The one that was in there was like, you know, change your gloves for your avatar.
Yeah.
But you can bank it for the next 2 days, I think. So you can sort of just do it ahead of time and just come back and you'll get gives you like a multiplier for the XP that you get in there. And yeah, it's really stupid. And the trophies for it is borderline abusive.
Yep.
So it's ones like you have to max out all of the different races of avatars,
mm-hmm.
which is a shitload of things. One for collecting 100 or 100,000 rings. And the max you can get, and that's by the end of the, how many you have at the end of the stage. So the final tally is what counts toward it. So you can get a max of 100 per stage. So it means you have to beat 1,000 stages to complete that. 1,000 stages where you get 100 at the end. And there are boss fights where you might end up, luckily, where it only gives you like a single digit number. So it's like you're going to be playing more than 1,000 stages. And there's some for beating like 10,000 enemies or something like that, which is not too hard. But a lot of it's just like, this is just fucking busy work to abuse these people, this subpar game.
Mm-hmm.
And this game came out the same year as Sonic Mania.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, that's just insult to injury. But yeah, that game was like, it's okay at best.
Mm-hmm.
If you somehow haven't had enough of terrible Sonic 3D games, this one's, I guess, another one to throw in that pile. And the other game I played, I streamed yesterday, was Murder by Numbers,
mm-hmm.
Which is a new game on the Switch that is essentially Phoenix Wright meets Picross,
mm-hmm.
Where you have this, I'm in the first case, where you are playing an actor who's on like a murder mystery show, you know, like CSI and all that kind of stuff. Your character's name is, I think, Honor. They have all weird names. But her character on the show is Detective Oates. But it begins with her getting laid off as they're about to go on hiatus before the next season starts. And then she goes out to the studio lot before she leaves, and she can't find her keys. Runs into this robot. It's like floating robot named Scout, who's looking for a detective to help him find out, you know, who he is and where his creator is and all this kind of stuff, because he wakes up in a junkyard for electronics, but with like a bunch of errors in his database, so he doesn't know much, which then and you're doing these puzzles to like pick up items for your inventory, whether it might be just you know, you need this item to get out of this room, or you're looking for something, you know, that kind of thing, just further the story, whatever. And so like the first one, you're doing this thing, it's like, oh, are these keys? And turns out, nope, it's a tampon. Because the scout doesn't, is like, his image sensors are messed up. So he doesn't know what it, he mixed up keys with a tampon. But the fun thing is you can kind of show those items you pick up, through the puzzles to other people. And so I showed it to, when I figured this out, I showed it to somebody who's like, why are you showing me that? Kind of thing. It's got some fun stuff in there. And yeah, the composer is the same one that did the Phoenix Wright games.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some good music in there. And right now I'm still working my way through this first case. But yeah, it's been good so far. It's kind of a lot of just visual novel stuff.
I think that game's published by the same people that did PC Building Simulator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, PC Building Simulator, and I think the artist is the one who did Hotiful Boyfriend.
Yeah.
So there's some good talent on this. And yeah, it's just pretty fun. I'm going to keep working through it. The puzzles aren't too hard, but they have an easy mode for people that have not played much Picross. Need that. But yeah, so far it's been pretty good. I'm definitely looking forward to putting some more time into it. And yeah, so the first mystery involves somebody that's involved with the show getting killed, and so you're trying to like first like prove your innocence, and then help find out who the killer is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, some of these characters have some real dumb names. Like the main detective you run across is named Detective Cross.
Mm-hmm.
Because Picross kind of thing. So yeah, they love their puns and all this. So,
well, they're British. It's kind of like requirement over there.
Yeah, but yeah, that's been fun, and yeah, I'll be streaming Saturday and Sunday. Mm-hmm. Streaming the PC Building on Sunday, and I'll be streaming something else on Saturday. So that's been pretty much it. How about you, Brandon?
All right, yeah. So first and foremost, I played the Final Fantasy VII Remake demo.
Yeah, it finally came out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And guess what?
Yeah, it's actually good.
Yeah, it's actually amazing. first of all, it looks absolutely gorgeous. Like, yep. It is a beautiful-looking game.
Almost to the point where you're like, you guys could have toned this down and maybe get these games out in a reasonable amount of time.
Yeah.
But you guys are just going overboard for some reason, so it takes you way too long to get these games out.
Yeah, they announced this thing back in 2015. I want everybody to remember that. But yeah, so basically the demo is basically the same as the demo was for the original Final Fantasy VII. It was the bombing run.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Basically follows that same plot, more or less. If you remember how the bombing run went, you know, it's you, Cloud, Barrett's in there, Wedge, Jesse, and the other dude. I forgot what his name is.
Biggs.
Biggs, Sid? Yeah. Sid. No, it's Biggs. Sid.
Yeah.
Sid's the blonde dude. But anyway. And yeah, basically, I legit, like, when I first started playing this demo, I was like, oh god, please tell me they didn't turn this into a fucking hack and slash. Guess what? They didn't turn it into a fucking hacking slash. They actually came up with a pretty amazing combat system. I'll have more to say on day zero, but basically what it is you essentially have a, you know, the regular normal attack mode, which is the active time battle system that they've created. And then there's also classic, which is a bit closer to sort of like the way the combat system was for Final Fantasy XII. But basically, if you remember how the ATB system works, it's that, you know, it's in the originals, it's like the turn-based thing where you're basically waiting for these little meters to fill up before you can do stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, they actually still do that here. The difference is that stuff is reserved for, like, stronger, more specialized attacks. So, like, for example, you can basically switch between the characters on the fly. And, you know, you'll switch to another character, and then the AI will take over for the character you switched from, and vice versa. And so far, example, if you're playing Cloud, Cloud has essentially two types of attack modes he can do. He's got what's known as the operator style, which is where he's a little faster and he can block and he can, you know, strike fast with these sort of medium effective attacks. And then there's the, I think the other one's called the protector. And that's where he can actually, he slows down and it focuses all of his energy into attacks that absolutely fucking wreck everyone around you, but you can't block with it. Hmm. Stuff like spells and, you know, special attacks and stuff also run sort of the same way the ATB stuff is, as the meter fills up. And both of his, you know, his classic, you know, Cloud's classic, what is it called? Like his burst attack or whatever. That's still there. Huh?
Limit break.
Yeah, his classic limit break is still there. And as for, you can also, during this demo, you also can switch over to Biggs. I mean, not Biggs, Barrett. And Barrett basically is what you think he is. It's all of his attacks revolve around, you know, his machine gun arm. And he can, the big difference between him and Cloud is Barrett can actually attack enemies that are above you. So when you've got like wall mounted turrets that are like next to security cameras and shit, Barrett's the guy who's able to take those down. He also has other like specialized attack is like a charged attack that he uses, which basically makes his machine gun kind of act like a missile launcher. If you think you can go into this demo and get through it by brute forcing it by hack and slashing, you can't. It will absolutely wipe you on the floor if you try to do that. Especially when you get to the scorpion robot at the end. Because, yeah, just like as was the case with the original Final Fantasy demo, you face the big scorpion robot at the end. And, he will wipe the fucking floor with you if you don't know what you're doing. It is. Let's just say I'm planning on going to GameStop sometime next week and pre-ordering. Like, seriously, it's that damn good.
Yeah, I wanted to hate it. I really did, but I can't.
Yeah, this thing had everything going against it. You know, it had this like drawn out development cycle. You know, the perspective had changed. We were getting, you know, the fact that they were giving up the old turn-based style of combat.
And then that's the hill I'm willing to die on.
Yeah. And then I played the demo, and holy shit, it's amazing. And so I'm like, okay, Square, where are we now? Okay, now it's just a matter of like, okay, Square, what are you going to do to fuck this up? This is too good right now. This is the time when you do something really stupid. What is it going to be? Going to be DLC?
We haven't seen much of the cross-dressing stuff yet.
Yes, we have.
We saw a little bit of it.
Yeah, they turned it into a whole song and dance number.
Yeah.
Still works.
Yeah.
I'm actually surprised they decided to keep that whole part of the game in there.
Yeah.
What else? Oh, yeah. Jesse has the best fucking personality of anyone else in this demo. She is so thirsty for Cloud's dick. It is so goddamn obvious. She's gonna live forever.
In memedom.
Spoiler alert, she doesn't live forever. But yeah, so it looks amazing. Other than that, also been playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey some more, gotten a little bit further in that. I met Socrates. He's a dick. Moving on from there. Books, been reading, as usual, and it's actually going to tie into my random factoid for this week, so prepare yourselves. Anime. I started watching Noir on Funimation. Where has this fucking anime been all my life? Seriously.
Never heard of it.
Why did nobody tell me about this goddamn anime? This goddamn amazing fucking anime. Noir is a anime that originally came out in 2001. It's by Beeline. And it's basically about this Corsican woman who is an assassin for hire, who encounters this young Japanese girl who has been trying to track her down. And, like, the one handful of clues that she has about her identity is this watch that whenever you take it out, it, you know, open it up because it's like a classic, silver watch that you got on a chain. It starts playing this weird, like, music box thing. And basically, as it goes on, you start to find out this whole thing of, like, at first, what in, like, the first couple of episodes seems like a lot of ancillary bullshit. Later on, it all starts to come together. And I cannot recommend it enough. If you got to watch it. This is the same studio that would later come out with Mad Lax, if you remember that one. For those of you don't know, if you got access to Netflix, finally the English dub of Beastars is going to be on Netflix next week. That one's going to freak some people out, I think. Prepare yourselves. All right, we got anything else we want to add before we move on?
No, I'm good. If you have Netflix, Castlevania Season 3 is up.
Oh, yeah, that's also there. You should. Everybody should go watch that. It's amazing. Somehow managed to take the Castlevania license and take it in a direction I never expected.
Yeah.
That's Warren Ellis for you. All right, then. Well, it is now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And tonight... it's not so much a factoid so much as it is, shall we say, an endorsement, a recommendation, maybe. Mm-hmm. So everybody here is familiar with The Witcher, right?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, other thing on Netflix you need to watch if you haven't watched it. And The Witcher is originally, the books are by Andrzej Sapkowski, who is a Polish author, who has been doing this stuff pretty much since the early 90s. He's famously a cantankerous individual, and he's had kind of a, shall we say, troubled relationship with the people at CD Projekt Red. But let's be honest, the only reason everyone knows about his books is because of those games.
Pretty much.
Like, really. Like, okay, granted, they were already bestsellers in his native Poland, but the rest of the world knows about The Witcher because of those games.
Hmm.
Period. So because of this, Poland has been sort of undergoing a kind of I guess a resurgence in the science fiction and fantasy genre because of the success of The Witcher. And a friend of mine recommended me a certain Polish fantasy series that he sent me the PDFs for. And obviously it's still in Polish, so I'm having to slowly read it through the use of Google Translate. But the reason he recommended it to me was because it basically is the first fantasy series I've ever encountered that specifically addresses the one thing about the fantasy genre that has always driven me fucking crazy. And it's this.
Mm-hmm.
And you can basically blame Tolkien for this 100%. Why is it that in all of these epic fantasy series, they can never seem to get past the horse and buggy stage of technology? Seriously, I'm asking. Why is it that they cannot get past that? Gunpowder is not that fucking hard.
I don't have an answer.
Yeah. Gunpowder is not that fucking hard to make.
Well, that's not a... I guess it depends on the quality of the author, because there are, well, some authors I know that have done that.
Yeah, like I know Brandon Sanderson has been doing that for the...
Mistborn.
Yeah, Mistborn, and he's been doing it fairly slowly.
Yeah.
But Akasha actually predates the Mistborn series.
Yeah.
And that's what the series is. It's called the Akasha series. And it answers, basically, like I said, my pet peeve about the fantasy genre. Why is it that none of them can get past the horse and buggy thing? Specifically, especially when gunpowder is involved. And for the record, if you're saying it's like, well, it's supposed to be fantasy, it's like a medieval world. It's supposed to be medieval. They had guns in the medieval era.
Yeah.
They had them. They had rifles. They had cannons. They had all that shit.
It's not very good ones.
Not very good ones, but they were there.
Yeah.
And they were used pretty...
Face, but they had them.
They were there, and they were used fairly extensively. Well, my friend sent me the Akasha series. Akasha is a series written by a gentleman by the name of Andrzej Ziemiatki. And it was a series he created basically after he'd been sort of lying dormant for about, a decade or so. He originally started publishing science fiction in Poland in the late 80s, and then he kind of stopped for a while in the 90s because, well, if you know about the history of the Eastern Bloc, it wasn't a good time in Poland in the early 90s. And then he decided to come back, and, you know, the fantasy genre was there. And, again, apparently he kept having the same problem I was, which is, why the fuck can none of these places seem to get past the goddamn horse and buggy stage of technology? So he came up with an idea. And that idea became the Akasha series. Now, there's this, the Akasha series is kind of weird to classify. Technically, it's a trilogy. But... the series itself is currently at around 12 books long. Now, if you're thinking, okay, how the fuck does that work? It's because the first Akasha was a trilogy in the same way that Lord of the Rings was a trilogy, in that it was in reality just one book that the publishers decided to chop up into three to save paper. And it's basically about a woman who is a noble woman who... basically ends up getting married off to an asshole noble who then robs her family for everything she's worth. So she ends up becoming a sex worker and eventually makes her way into her country's military. And that's all well and good. Here's what's interesting, though. Right around the time that she actually starts getting involved in her nation's military, there is a new... shall we say, new thing that's becoming, like, big on warfare now. So much so that it now threatens to actually topple the entire power structure of the world she lives in. The rifle. And the reason that's such a big deal is because when you introduce the rifle into a medieval fantasy world, suddenly a bunch of stuff that you take for granted, it suddenly goes out the window. Because now you don't need to have extensive lifetime extensive training with a sword or how to use a bow. Now, basically, any peasant can pick up a rifle, aim down the barrels, and kill anyone he wants. Not only that, but they can also, with a gun, you can also kill wizards. Because magic is something, again, takes a lifetime of work to, you know, train on. It's very energy consuming, and it's complicated, and it takes a while to get a spell going.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of time in between you get that spell going to it actually taking effect, and a lot of time in between that time when somebody can just take out a gun and basically blast you. Now here's the fun part. That's just the first part of the trilogy. In the second part of the trilogy, it's now 1,000 years later, and they're now roughly the modern era. Which means they have automobiles, they have planes, they have helicopters. Guns are much more pervasive. And what's funny, though, is that, like, the technology has actually, like, it's just like ours, but has also, like, just variant enough that it's definitely, like, a different world. Like, for example, helicopters in the Akaja series have a rotor on the front instead of on the back. And automobiles are basically more designed to look closer to something closer to, like, old carriages. And airplanes are more of the biplane variety, even though they do get the big, large ones that they use as, like, you know, places for, you know, parachute drops and shit like that. There's still a bunch of monsters and shit, though. And part of the fun part of the second part of the trilogy is that it has a lot to do with sort of looking at and assessing, you know, the impact and legacy of Akaja herself, like, in the past, and the effect that her empire ends up having on the world long after she's dead. And it's not all positive. Yeah. So, I actually haven't gotten to the second part of the trilogy yet. I hope to. The third part of the trilogy yet. I hope to at some point. But it's basically about the guy who kills Akaja. That's the Akaja series by Andrzej Ziemiatski. If you can get a copy of it and either you know how to read Polish or you can use Google Translate, do it. It's really damn good. And it's like probably the most entertaining and most exciting fantasy I've read in a long ass time. So, and that has been yet another installment of Brandon's Random Factoid. All right. So, with that being said, it is now time for the show proper. And as always, we have to talk about our asshole of the week. Fortunately, they're not Americans this time. They're Canadians.
Well, they're from Alberta, so...
Well, yeah, Alberta. Texas. Yeah, Alberta is basically Alberta. Texas to Canada.
Yeah.
And, well, they basically made a bunch of stickers about fucking Greta Thunberg.
Yeah. Not good ones. The article that I read early in the week would not show what the picture was. They described it, but no, I don't need to see it.
Yeah, still. So...
it's not that. It's, first of all, it's a very generic, like, drawing from the back of someone with, like, of a woman, like, with, like, long braids that, you know, like, you know how somebody, sometimes they do what they call the bicycle?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's showing that from the back, and then she has, like, Greta tattooed on her back, and that's about it. Some people have made the misconception saying it's basically depicting rape. But that's neither really, and that would be bad enough, but that's ultimately neither here nor there when you realize that they're doing this about a fucking teenager.
She's a child. Yeah.
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 Yeah, and it's just kind of like a, you know, very much a thing you do when you just don't give a fuck. These people that run X-Site Energy Services, which the design of their logo is very much like mid-2000s internet.
Oh, yeah.
Like, edgy internet site. And, yeah, so they... let's see. People reported it for possible child pornography. thing, which I think got thrown out just because it's not clear that it's like rape.
It's
or anything
nondescript.
Like that.
It's nondescriptive yeah. enough that you know you can kind of weasel your way out of that one.
It's just everybody knows what it's depicting. And so people reach their general manager, Doug Sparrow, who basically just did not want to ever respond to the specific questions they were asked. Was just deflecting constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And they shut down their social media because claimed they were getting attacked for no reason, that kind of thing. Saying, let's see, we did not post those stickers or pictures on social media. They have been tagged on our accounts, personal company, which I'm shutting down right now to try to mitigate the damages. We did not post that stuff on media. Okay. So they're not denying they made the stickers. They're just saying we didn't post it on our social media. I was like, okay, that's not what people are asking, but sure. And yeah, she had a good response to this, basically saying, they're starting to get more and more desperate. This shows that we're winning.
Mm.
And when they can't even deny, like counter anything that people are saying about needing to get away from oil and gas and all this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, I just want to point out the mass hypocrisy about the fact that you know, they're sort of defending the existence of this sticker because they're saying, well, she's 17. She's basically of age. But when she's actually talking about stuff like climate change or stuff, they're like, ah, she's just some dumb kid.
Yeah, they're exploiting her. This is child abuse.
Yeah.
We can make sexy stickers of her.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the sort of thing you expect like dumb idiots on the internet to do. Not a fucking oil company.
Well, there's a lot of dumb idiots that run oil companies, so.
Yeah, well, and a handful of them happen to be in Alberta.
Yeah.
Like we said, Alberta is basically Canada's Texas.
Hmm.
And they'll get what's coming to them eventually.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, so moving on from there, we do have actually have our Heroes of the Week. Heroes of the Week. So in the world of architecture, there is something called the Pritzker Prize. It's basically the architecture world's equivalent of the Nobel Prize. And this week, two women, an Irish duo by the name of Yvonne Farrell and Shirley McNamara, actually won it this week. And they literally were the fourth and fifth women to claim the award in its 41-year history.
Yeah, the first duo of women. And they founded the Dublin-based Grafton Architects. Which were named based on the street they were working on when they first started. And they seem to be known just for basically working with concrete and stone for their architecture. Working on a lot of really cool buildings from what they show here. This looks like some really cool stuff. And pretty inventive for a firm that just started out of these two women's first business. I'm not sure when they started, though. But yeah, like the first woman, it says they got an award was 2004.
Hmm.
So it took a good 20-some years just to get one to win. And she was the only solo female architect to claim the prize. And I think others are probably partnered with men for that. But yeah, pretty cool honors for them.
All right.
Yeah, some of these, the one they have here at the very top of the article looks like the place you would go into at the beginning of Control. A very kind of foreboding building. You know, like some fucked up shit's going on in there.
Yeah. All right. And with that, we now move on to the proper show proper. And unfortunately, we have a celebrity death to speak of. Rest in peace, James Lipton.
Yep.
Now, James Lipton was a man of many talents. He was a writer. He was a lyricist and composer.
Teacher.
He was a teacher, a very talented actor. But to the world, he was probably best known as the host and interviewer of Inside the Actor's Studio.
Yep.
Where he became one of the most eminently imitatable people on television.
Yep. Very much a popular figure on SNL.
Oh, yeah. A genius.
Genius! And he started the show as just a way of showing his students that there's more to the actors than just their work.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing, and it kind of blew up into a big show.
Mm-hmm.
That was just kind of amazing, because he doesn't really go into it with any sort of like agenda.
No.
He just kind of wants to learn more about them and ask some questions about things that they would probably not get from anybody else. Like, we often ask people, like, what's your favorite curse word? Things like that. And stuff that is, like, no normal interview you'd see on, like, you know, daytime shows or late night shows would just be like, so how do you like to curse? kind of thing. And that definitely became one of his hallmarks, of just a lot of unique questions and such that definitely made him popular to just general culture. Though, you know, the last like 10, 15 years, I assume he stepped back a bit, especially here at the end, but was very much like he was on Conan a lot and a lot of these other shows that would, you know, just come on and just had a great ability to kind of poke fun at himself, as well as just kind of cut loose when he wasn't on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, rare for people in his sort of position.
Yeah. Also, just because I know this is probably going to come up, because there's been this story going around that he's the guy who wrote the theme song for Thundercats.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't. I just had to point that out. He did write theme songs for other TV shows, but he didn't do Thundercats.
No.
Like I said, he was a man of many talents.
Yep.
So he will be missed. But if you ever get a chance, you know, watch some of the interviews he did on YouTube. He was a fantastic interviewer.
Yeah.
And just incredibly easy to imitate. All right, and with that, we now move on to the Dem primary, which basically didn't really decide shit. But basically, what you need to know sort of at the moment at the top is Joe Biden managed to do much better than really anybody thought he was going to.
Yeah, he wasn't really close to winning any of the previous states.
No. I mean, it was fairly – a lot of people predicted that he would probably clean up the South, which is what he ended up doing. But people didn't expect him to win in other places. Like I think he won in Michigan, I think.
I think that one's still being finalized, but they've you know, called it already.
Yeah, and then he won Texas. Now, the Texas one, for the record, was really, really close.
Yeah.
However,
Main were close.
Yeah. However, Bernie Sanders only won four states, but he won one of the four he won was California.
Yeah.
And he basically crushed it there.
Which is also technically still not done yet, because I think they were still taking mail-in until today.
Yeah. Meaning that. So he's probably going to get the lion's share of the delegates from California. Yeah. So virtually Bernie and Biden are neck and neck right now. Like last I looked, they're literally like within 50 to 100 delegates of each other.
It's about 100, which we've still only gone through. I think the number that they say is like when you've, you know, clinched
is like 1,050.
I think it's like 1,900.
Yeah, something like that.
So they're either one still has like 1,300 to go.
Mm-hmm.
So there's still a lot to go.
Mm-hmm. For example, my state's primary isn't until a couple weeks from now. So
yeah, I think we've only had what, like 15 states right now.
Mm-hmm.
God, this is dragging out so fucking long.
Yeah,
it should literally do like 12 or 13 a week over a course of a month. Mm-hmm. No, it's, you know, one the first week, one the second. They have South Carolina on a Saturday, then 12 states, and then, like, you know, trickle this out over the next 3 months still.
Yeah. All right. So with that, it basically meant that we all knew that basically Super Tuesday was going to be the make it or break it for all of the other candidates. And
so a few quit out beforehand.
Yeah. Tom Steyer basically dropped out as the first. And he basically went for broke at the very end by getting up on stage with Juvenile and dancing to Back That Ass Up. So,
yeah, which John Oliver pointed out, he did not listen to him at all.
Nope.
He was not backing that ass up.
Nope.
You know, you're paying this guy and you're not even listening to his very easy requirements.
Mm-hmm. And then after that, Pete Buttigieg dropped out.
That puzzles me.
Yeah, the way that he and Amy Klobuchar basically endorsed Biden so quickly after they dropped out.
Well, that people have suggested that, well, according to some people have said, Pete Buttigieg dropped out after he got a call from former President Obama.
Yeah.
And a lot of people think that this was sort of like a deal made where if Biden ends up winning, you know, becoming president, both him and Klobuchar would have a place in Biden's cabinet.
Yeah. That's the way it seemed, just how quickly they did it right before Super Tuesday.
Yeah.
Which, to be clear, that's kind of shitty.
Because
a bunch of people, I don't think so, but a lot of people did early voting.
Mm-hmm.
And people found out, oh, you can't change that.
Yeah.
Yep.
So there's lots of dead votes that happened for these various states of people that voted for, you know, these people either early or they were still on the ballots. In a number of places still had just people had bowed out, you know, weeks or months ago.
Hmm.
And it's like, okay, you guys need to have a system that updates so that there isn't so many dead votes here. Because you can vote for those people. It's not going to do anything because it's not like they're going to resurrect their campaign to come back.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely point out how odd these whole primary systems are.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you see like the story of the one of the polling places in LA.
Mm-hmm.
That was the people that were running it got very few, if any, updates about training or anything like that.
Yeah.
That was going on, and then the day came. They managed to get training, but then the day came and the system had been changed from what people were used to. So it involved like filling out the ballot and then scanning it and then putting the ballot in a specific place, and people were not sure what to do, and they were taking it over to the check-in station, causing those people to be slower getting people checked in, and people tried to stop by during their lunch break, and the line was like 3 hours long at that point, so people had to leave, and it's like, no, you're not going to get great results when people can't just get into fucking line and vote.
Yeah.
Within like at least like a 30-minute to an hour window.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows just how far we still have to go. Like, there should be more polling places.
Mm.
Not less like some of these states have been doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think South Carolina moved a bunch of them for some reason.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, you guys.
It's called voter suppression.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I expect that when my state's primary rolls around in a couple weeks, we're probably going to see some shenanigans like that too.
Yeah.
So after that, Super Tuesday came. Joe Biden basically jumped into the front rudder, although not by very much.
It's basically a two-person race at this point.
Yeah. Basically, the only other person in it that's still here is, of course, you know, Tulsi Gabbard. And let's be honest, she's basically just
her.
Yeah.
I'm looking at these vote totals, and she gets over 1%.
Mm-hmm.
Two of these states.
Yeah.
I think she was second in the American Samoa.
Yeah. Speaking of American Samoa.
Yeah.
Mike Bloomberg got American Samoa.
And then he dropped out.
and then he immediately dropped out.
Yeah, it was six delegates.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
I imagine he probably swamped them with advertising.
Yeah.
And all that. And
well, that was his only strategy.
Yeah.
Yeah. He proved with this campaign that you can't just buy your way into the nomination.
No.
At least.
Well, not if you're a Democrat.
Yeah.
The Republican thing last time around was just everybody was shit.
Yeah. It's just everybody was shit and Trump was king shit.
Mm. Yeah.
And everybody tried to...
He was the joker of the group.
Yeah, everybody tried to either, like, make themselves to be better than Trump or be Trump-like. And then after Trump won the election, we immediately found out how fucking spineless they really were.
Oh, yeah.
And finally, Liz Warren dropped out as well. And we still haven't found out who she's going to endorse.
Yeah, she says she's going to wait a bit.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
I would assume if Bernie wants it, he needs to be in contact with her right away.
Yeah.
Probably already is.
That would be the best thing for him.
Because
There's been a lot of shit going on with the internet between Biden supporters and Warren supporters, or Bernie and Warren supporters.
Yeah.
Despite both, from the vast majority of people I saw, supported both.
Yeah.
It's like, stop being assholes.
Yeah. I also don't want people to underestimate the depth of hatred that regular centrist Democrats have for Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
Like I go on blogs that are typically progressivish liberal, and God damn, them, the centrist sort of moderate style Democrats, they hate Bernie Sanders with a passion.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they hate him with the fury of a million suns. It is insane.
Yeah, because he's too progressive.
Yeah, and they're willing to stoop to the kind of lows that the Trump people would when trying to associate anything negative with him. Mm. You guys remember I mentioned last week he brought up, it was the thing about he made the comments about Fidel Castro that were positive about, you know, his health care and literacy programs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then there's also like them, like recently the New York Times, because they're the fucking New York Times, they decided to go hunting for old documents, because for those you don't know, Bernie Sanders spent his honeymoon in the late 80s in Moscow, and now they're trying to make it out like he was some kind of Soviet agent or something. Like, and Joe Biden has not gotten nearly this kind of bullshit.
No. And his issue is, very obviously, he's in the same situation as Trump, and that they're not mentally there.
No.
The way they should be.
And I have to admit, and the fact that Bernie still managed to win all that he did Super Tuesday is a testament to the fact that those old sort of red baiting tactics aren't as effective as they used to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm fucking sick of having to... Look, I'm sorry Hillary didn't get elected president, okay? Like, I'm sorry. She should be.
Basically everything that you could do.
Yeah.
She got the popular votes.
Yeah.
Right.
That right there
the only reason she isn't president right now is because of some weird fucking, you know, glitch in our system with the Electoral College.
Yeah.
But you know what? It doesn't really matter because it shouldn't have been that fucking close to begin with. She was going up against Donald goddamn Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's because people are fucking babies. Like, protest voting and that kind of shit. And it's like, no, just fucking vote for the person that isn't the fucking asshole you don't want to win.
Yeah. And for the record, Bernie actually campaigned for Hillary after she got the nomination a fuck ton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, he made, like, 60 appearances at her rallies to get people to vote for her.
And is she reciprocating for him?
What? No.
Yeah.
I have no idea why people are fucking asking for her opinion on anything.
Yeah.
She's not in this.
And furthermore, Bernie's people keep getting blamed for her losing. Look, I fucking voted for her. Okay?
Yeah. It's not Bernie's people writ large. It's the Bernie or Busters.
Yeah, and
the ones
they
that
are,
would not show up for anyone else.
And here's the thing. They are an exceedingly small number of people. They are extremely vocal. I'll give you that.
Yeah,
I had to get belligerent with a couple of them earlier this week.
I saw that.
On one of the liberal pages that I frequent.
Yeah. So.
But you saw that.
Yeah.
So, I want to be nice. Because I, you know, we're going to need to get behind whoever gets the vote. I mean, whoever gets the nomination anyway, even if it is fucking Joe Biden. Because let's be honest, a lump of dog shit would be a more effective president than Donald Trump.
Yes.
At this point, yeah.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Whoever wins the election is going to be the oldest person to ever be voted in as president.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah.
Either it's by a considerable margin or by 4 more years because the asshole in charge gets to keep it.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not really how it should be.
No.
You shouldn't have no good or no viable younger people.
Yeah. That's because a lot of the younger people are just completely disillusioned with the whole system as it stands.
Yeah. I mean, that's actually one of the big reasons why Bernie didn't fare so well Super Tuesday is he really gets it with the young voters. But the problem is so many of our generation younger have completely checked out because it has completely failed them.
Then it's easy to tune out of the primary votes.
Yeah.
Like to not necessarily have the time to go in. Like we talk about that one polling place in L.A. It was like, okay, you only have time to go during your lunch break.
Mm-hmm.
But it's backed up because the systems are all fucking overloaded.
Mm-hmm.
And all this. And it's like you have this one place you're sending thousands of people to instead of having, you know, handfuls of places that have hundreds of people at.
Yeah.
That could be reasonable places to go. That's why there's a fucking shitload of Starbucks instead of sending all the people to one.
Yeah.
Like that's... It's the same simple policy for polling places. Like
so, yeah, like I said, I'm in this weird position now where I'm having to both say I'm going to be voting for whoever, you know, gets the nomination, even if it is Joe Biden. And honestly, I don't think any of us really have the luxury to do otherwise.
Yeah.
Damn right.
But at the same time, I'm having to say, you fucking bourgeois liberal dickheads, get over yourselves.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what I said there, too, in that thread.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, look, I'm sorry Hillary fucking lost, but, you know, Bernie is not the fucking problem.
Yeah.
He's the solution to the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of it's just the system for getting registered and how many times you have to fucking check that your registration is still there.
Mm.
And the fact that they spread these all out means that, you know, if you're not paying attention to exact dates, it's not like they send mail out every time, like, oh, you got to vote this time. You know, and here's the place you need to go. It's like, I assume it's the same place I went for the last election.
But it
might maybe be. It isn't. I don't know. Yeah. And it's like, okay, when, you know, I don't know what my schedule is going to be that day.
Yeah.
If I'm going to be off or I'm going to be working or if I'm going to be working, you know, early or later, or, you know, when I can go in.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have circumstances what I'm doing the day before, whether it's going to affect if I'm going to be able to get in early or not. You know, it's not just easy, it's like going down when people got to fucking work. And that's why if they had all these primaries, let's say, spread across the 4 weekends in March, like people could more easily get there during the weekends. You could better prepare for, even if your job is one that's 7 days a week instead of 5.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of the systems are designed to discourage people that have other things going on.
And this is basically going to be our last election story for the night. There was a special election that was being held in Alabama this week as well. Jeff Sessions was trying to get his old Senate seat. Guess what? He didn't get it. Actually, nobody got it. It's basically going to be going to a runoff for the end of this month.
Hmm. And it's for the nomination for GOP.
Yeah. And the best part? Here comes the really best part. Guess who failed super hard to get the nomination? Roy Moore.
Yay.
Yep. He got 6% of the vote, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not good at all.
Nope.
But it's between Jeff Sessions, who got, I think, 30%. The person who got more is a man by the name of Tommy Tuberville, who, if you don't know him...
college football coach?
Yes. He coached Auburn many years ago, and who's now, I guess, essentially turned himself into Trump. He's very much a fake media, fake news kind of guy, all that kind of all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And he got 34% of the vote. So, yeah, this is going to be – I don't know when they're doing the next election for this.
Mm-hmm.
March 31st, okay.
Mm. Mm.
And so, yeah, it's basically an elf versus a former football coach for the GOP version, side of the seats and going against Doug Jones, which I'm going to guess he's probably not going to get it in the final election, but – crazy things happened. He won last time somehow.
Mm-hmm.
This sounds like Vince McMahon levels of booking at this point. It's insane.
Yeah.
Yep. But, yeah. So, that's just, isn't it nice to see him fall so hard?
Yeah.
Just to know that his window is definitely shut.
Yep.
But, next up. All right, so now we're going to the COVID-19 watch, because spread out there, the global infected rate has now topped 100,000 people, yep. And of those 100,000 people, 3,400 of them have passed away.
Hmm.
Yeah, and I think over the past week, the numbers of new cases outside of China has surpassed what China was getting.
Hmm. Yeah.
So we're kind of
which I'm not sure if that's a good sign or a bad sign.
It's a better sign for China.
Yeah.
They're getting a handle on their thing.
Yeah.
But it's not good for everywhere else because many of these governments are run by fucking idiots.
including ours.
Yeah. Yeah, we saw the Iran health minister who was like assuring people that it wasn't going to be an issue as he was sweating. As Jennifer put it, like an Alabama preacher.
Well, that could just be the weather in Iran.
Mm.
Yeah, but he was sweating, coughing, and all that. And turned out the next day, oh, he does have it.
Mm. Oh, geez.
So that was a nice little bit of karma there.
Mm-hmm.
Of people trying to tell people, oh, there's no problem. Nothing to see here.
Mm.
And, oh, wait, it actually is a problem.
Oops.
Well.
And, oh. Yeah, so...
Yeah,
we're at 3,400 dead.
Yeah,
so 3.4%.
Yeah, and here's a really freaky part for you. So China, for the last 20-25 years, has had a serious problem with air pollution,
mm-hmm.
especially in places like Beijing.
Yeah,
because like the smog levels there are almost lethal.
Yep,
and yet. NASA satellites took pictures of China over the last week, and it showed the airborne nitrogen dioxide over China had plummeted.
Yep.
Like, noticeably dropped.
Basically because very few of their factories are running.
Yeah.
Funny.
Well, it's a combination of things.
Like,
a lot of
businesses shutting down for
Lot of businesses shutting down. But it's also because China is currently undergoing a sort of transfer over to green energy that they're going to be doing over the next 10 years.
Yeah.
So
it just kind of happens to coincide with this.
Yeah.
They're off to a hell of a start.
Yeah.
This is over the past month, is these images.
Yeah.
The one on the left is from the first few weeks of the year. And mm-hmm. the one on the right is from the last few weeks.
Mm.
Yep.
It's a remarkable difference that shows what happens when you have to shut shit down because there's a deadly virus going all across your
country. Not only when you got to shut shit down, but you also have to repurpose other shit.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
how they basically built an entire hospital in like 2 days.
Yeah.
They have a lot of shit.
Yeah.
They had like speaker robots going around telling people like stay inside.
Mm-hmm.
Do not go outside. And apparently some people, what they were showing on Last Week Tonight, people managed to figure out how to make some makeshift hazmat suits out of like, you know, those inflatable dinosaur suits.
Yeah,
well, they were using that'll work. That.
Use what you got.
Just cover up the face parts.
Yeah. Hey, it's resourceful. I can respect that.
Yeah,
like outfits that come from like Christmas, that kind of thing, like elves, stuff like that. Just like things that are kind of inflatable. Don't let you let your nasty shit get out of it. Then you can go shopping like a weirdo.
Mm.
But there's no traffic or anything, so it pays off.
Yeah.
And people having to entertain themselves because they got nothing else to do.
Yep. Also, I needed to put something else I wanted to point out. One of the things about China's economy is that it has enough like planned economic segments that they can actually afford a sort of a slowdown for a short period if something like this happens. But yeah, we'll see where this goes.
Everybody that's relying on China, on the other hand.
Yeah. They are just straight
well and truly fucked.
Absolutely, positively, just straight, absolutely straight fucked.
The pants.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, in the United States, there are now officially 14 dead, and President Trump signed this week a $8.3 billion funding bill to combat the COVID-19 virus.
Yeah.
And, of course, he still has to be a complete asshole about it because...
Because Trump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he's an idiot. Thinks he's smarter than the experts he supposedly has to inform him of important information. And yeah, so 13 of those were in Washington, which was kind of just happened all at once as, what was it, like a nursing home kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
There's just like one person got infected and then just spread it around because they're on pretty enclosed spaces.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the dangerous part of it is for people in those kind of situations, of which there are many across this country.
Yeah.
And that's the hard thing about containing this kind of thing in this country is we have tons of fucking space.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not, people aren't that concentrated into big cities. Any attempts to quarantine is going to be basically impossible here in this country. Unless somehow it's all in just one city.
Yeah.
But yeah, good luck trying to do that in like New York City or L.A. or anything like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although, yeah, L.A. did declare a state of emergency already, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever that ends up.
Yeah.
Yeah. But a lot of that stuff is just funding related.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just getting things money. Opened up to prepare for things.
Yep.
Yeah. Also, Trump went and said that his hunch is that the death rate is way lower than 1% instead of 3.4% fatality rate that the World Health Organization has said.
Yeah, he said, I think the 3.4% is really a false number, talking to Sean Hannity, because, of course, now this is just my hunch, but based on a lot of conversations with a lot of people that do this, because a lot of people will have this and it's very mild. They will get better very rapidly. They don't even see a doctor. Personally, I would say the number is way under 1%.
Maybe for countries that aren't testing everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Also, here's the thing, and I think I need to bring this because it needs to be said. People listen to this shit, and because of this, doctors have been reporting that they've been having trouble getting their older patients to comply with their recommendations and their diagnoses because, Trump told them that, it wasn't so bad and that this was all just a big nothing.
Mm-hmm. Sure, and, because he has a fucking 8-year medical degree, of course.
Yeah, I think he's even said, like, oh, I have a knack for this. What if I had, gone to school for this instead of doing this? It's like, Thank God you're not in charge of any people's health. To that degree. Now he's just in charge of fucking healthcare, though he can't get anything passed anyway. But yeah, I forget what it was. I was trying to think of, but yeah, it's going to be a big issue if they can't. It was. So somebody called all of the states, like health people, their government people, and sort of figuring out how many people have been tested officially, what numbers they have. And they found out it is just under 1,900 people in this country has been tested so far. And
that's not a lot.
No. It's not
suboptimal.
For a country with 370 million people, only have not even 2,000 people have been tested so far. Is not great. Especially for how much people travel around here and you know other countries and all that. And yeah, like don't think the official reported numbers of who infected is all there is.
Yeah.
It's just the people that have been flagged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To get tested.
Because it needs to be emphasized. The reason this virus is such a big, is such a massive danger is because, yeah, it's true that, you know, the majority of people who catch it will be fine. You will have some mild symptoms and then it'll be gone within a few days. The biggest danger this is to people who are older or really young or have a, you know, compromised immune system. This is where the problem comes in. This is a virus that lays dormant for about 2 weeks until you actually start showing symptoms, which means you end up contaminating everybody else around you and have no idea that you've been doing it the whole time.
Yeah.
And even then, those symptoms are not exactly unique to them.
Yeah.
It just seems like normal, like cold or flu you might have. You wouldn't be necessarily, unless you're just completely taken over by the panic to like get checked out on any little thing. You wouldn't be surprised to be like, oh, well, it's just a thing I get, you know, in cold weather.
Yeah.
I just wait a couple days, call off work, and I'll go back.
No, they won't be calling off work. And the other day when I thought that I may have been exposed, and I may have been, I don't freaking know.
Yeah, you're not going to. You're not going to go for another 2 weeks, you know?
From, like, Wednesday night until Monday morning, I made a list of everywhere that I went, and we didn't go a lot of places this weekend. Oh, my God. The amount of people that I saw, the places that we were at, the gatherings and the... If I were infected, man, I could have... I was with at least...
Then all probably. Chicago line is going with you.
Well, I mean, at least in close contact with 150 people just from this band thing that we were at. And young, old, all everywhere, everything. You never know. And so it does seem kind of scary in that way, is that it can be spread so much. And we don't know enough about how it spreads, although we have a lot of better ideas now.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it's like, basically just due to the doctors and scientists basically taking down as much information they can about each person to try and find anything that correlates with one another. And yeah, like on last week tonight, they had Jennifer had a good three basic rules for this. Number one is don't be racist.
Yeah.
Because Asian people are getting harassed and all over the place.
Yeah. Chinese people don't eat bats.
No.
That, and if you're not even Chinese, people here don't know the difference because they're not that they don't see that many people. Don't hoard masks. Here's the thing. Masks aren't going to prevent you from getting it. It's for if you're sick, trying to keep your snot and all that from getting to other people. And that's mainly for like health officials. And also check the CDC website for updates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't listen to random idiots on Twitter, Facebook. He's a random idiot. And yeah, there's, and just wash your fucking hands. Anytime you walk by a sink with soap, just wash your hands.
Yeah.
For about 20 seconds.
Yeah. We got a good song here.
If you want to know how long you need to do, just sing the Happy Birthday song while you're doing it.
Yeah. Or watch watch Vietnam's prevention song, because it's amazing.
Yeah. Speaking of which, Vietnam is probably one of the handful of Asian countries that have not only successfully more or less managed to contain the virus, and part of the reason they did that was coming up with this amazing fucking prevention awareness song that basically became so big and popular it inspired an entire TikTok meme.
Yep. Yeah, so...
Of course, because of the internet.
Yes.
Yeah, they have the original video, though. If you go look in the comments, somebody links to the one with the English subtitles.
Yeah.
If you need to know exactly what they're saying. But it's a song that surprisingly is way better than you would think. And then obviously lots of people on Instagram and TikTok are just doing a fun dance to the song. Showing that it's just a great song. I think John Oliver said it's the best song about hygiene since Ernie. Sing about his fucking rubber ducky.
Yeah. Top player.
Yep.
And they got a bunch of the videos here if you need to see any of them for proof. Yeah, they're good watches.
All right.
So if you need something to take your to cheer you up about coronavirus, this is the song to do it.
Yeah. So, and finally, because of course somebody had to fucking do it, Tito's, who famously make a okay vodka, have had to tell people to not use its vodka in a homemade hand sanitizer.
Yeah, so they've. So you can use liquor for that. I guess to be 60% alcohol for that.
Yeah.
Theirs is 40%.
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of people like, oh, I'm going to use Tito's. And like, no, don't do that.
No.
Basically respond to everything per the CDC. Hand sanitizer needs to contain at least 60% alcohol. Tito's handmade vodka is at 40% alcohol. Mm-hmm. Therefore, it does not meet the current recommendation of the CDC. Please see attached for more information, which means,
yeah,
you know, feel bad for their... social media team. Because they're working overtime trying to do the thing that the internet is not going to pay attention to anyway.
Yeah. You had much better luck just drinking the vodka and passing out on the couch.
Never touching other people.
You have a better time, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Frankly, I don't think you're, as far as containing this goes, I don't think this is ever that's ever happening.
Yeah. It's basically like everything else that Trump is locked down in is that it just fucking luck.
Yeah. Well, I think it's going to be another thing that you have to deal with as far as flus go. Every year you're going to have to be immunizing yourself to it, you know?
Yeah.
So there's a few also, vaccines in the works that are showing promise. So yeah.
You need to get also, don't buy so much fucking hand sanitizer. It's not useful for most things.
No.
Yeah.
Wash your hands. That's more useful than this.
Yeah.
Don't replace hand washing with sanitizer.
Yeah.
Seriously. People are doing that?
Yes, they are.
Oh, yeah. If they even wash, do anything. People go to the bathroom and just leave.
Yeah. Okay,
public bathrooms.
Mm.
Yeah, it's... People are disgusting.
Yeah. Also, don't slather your phone with hand sanitizer.
No.
No.
That's a really dumb idea.
No, use a wipe, paper towel or something.
Well, yeah, and the alcohol in it will remove the oleophilic coating on your phone, and then you're going to have a bunch of fingerprints all over, like every Samsung phone I've ever used.
A bunch of fingerprints that will hold on to bacteria more.
Yeah. So most phones now have, you know, an IP rating. Wash it with a little soap and water. Don't dunk it.
Yeah.
Like, get a little soap, a little water, put it on your fingertips, wash the phone, and then wipe it clean with a wet, damp, not super wet, like paper towel or something to rinse it off and to dry it.
Yeah, or if you're really concerned, get a case.
Don't people do this all the time? Wash your fucking case. Wash that with soap and water. Yeah. Like, a lot.
Get a good case that just covers it all, and then just take the case off and wash it every day or whatever. Yeah. If you're really that concerned.
Do people not wash their phones? Because there's a bunch of fecal matter all over phones. It's really gross.
I use sanitizing wipes.
Mm. Yeah. Don't do that.
You get fecal matter all over everything.
Yeah.
They do, and that is one of the ways that they think that this is spreading, is through urine and feces and through the spray that comes up from flushing a toilet, especially public toilets. So put the lids down on your toilets before you flush if you're at home and you have a lid.
Mm-hmm.
And most people, I think, do have lids at home.
Yeah.
Yep. Not seeing better days, but...
Yeah, like, again, we should be doing this all the time, because that shit sprays all over. And how close is your toothbrush to your toilet? Is it within 7 feet? Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Mine's luckily got a wall between it.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. Mine doesn't. We do put down the seat, but we also keep a Dixie cup over the top of our toothbrushes.
Yeah.
Also, I put it in the cabinet, so...
Yeah,
oh, it's not really next to anything.
Yeah.
That helps too.
Yeah. And UV things, those actually do a really good job of just killing pretty much everything. So
yeah. They put in one of those water filters at work right before all this happened that has the UV shit.
Yeah.
Also, change your toothbrushes every so often.
Yeah, good idea.
Right?
Buy a pack of like 10 of them.
Do we need
if you're
to
ever
have...
concerned, you just change it out.
Like, do we need to have a common sense fucking podcast?
Apparently.
Is this the United
Change
States?
Change the batteries in your light detector, in your smoke detector.
We'll just start a new podcast, Common Sense with Smashpad.
Smashpad top tip.
Yeah.
One, don't stick your hand into a, I don't know.
Toaster?
Disposal.
There you go.
Just clean it out.
That would be, don't put your hand in the snowblower in order to unclog it. I'm looking at one of my friends who is missing part of his finger. That happens.
Seems like what you would do is put hot water in there, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Or a fucking stick.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that could still bounce up and poke you in the eye, but...
No, I want to hear more about this person who got mauled by an auger.
For whatever fucking reason, he's like, I know better. I fucking know better. But I was in a hurry, and I was trying to do my driveway and my neighbor's, and I just stuck my hand in there, and, well... Here you go. So he's missing the top of his middle finger.
Yeah, I almost put a story in Heroes about Florida cops offering to test your meth if it's contaminated with coronavirus.
They actually got response to that too, didn't they?
Yes, they did, because it's fucking Florida.
That's great.
Yeah.
So anyway. You do drugs, you become an idiot.
Yeah.
Especially if you're in Florida, it doubles the effect. It's a multiplier.
Yeah. So next up, it's getting away from the COVID stuff. So most of them there, the U.S. signed a peace deal with the Taliban to end the Afghanistan war, which immediately went out the fucking window, and they started shooting each other again within 48 hours.
Yeah, I believe the Taliban then started attacking the Afghanistan people.
Yeah.
And then the U.S. Did some airstrikes on Taliban. It's like, all right, great job.
Yeah.
Great job, Trump. You just... released, I think, like 5,000 Taliban prisoners to not do anything. They're still going to have people there for at least 9 more months. And it's like, all right, we'll be sure that that's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's like, good job negotiating with terrorists.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yes, so.
The best deals.
Yeah.
Only good deals here.
All right. Next up, the Supreme Court will be hearing a new case on the Affordable Care Act's individual mandate.
Mm. Oh, the thing that stuff. Pays for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's the guy gets this to me. Yeah.
So, yeah. This is, I mean, sure, let's just tear this down because we don't have any other options.
Mm.
It's just complete chaos.
I mean, we could have, you know, a universal single-payer health care or, you know, Canadian-style Medicare. You know, that could work. It's tried and true and proven method.
Else in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, if Bernie were to win and we do the exact thing he's saying.
Yeah.
It would be better than Canada's system.
It would be.
So it would cover, I think, dental and vision, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though that's not really a huge expense. Those are like usually a few bucks a month compared to regular medical, but still.
Yes, your taxes may go up a few cents, but it also means you won't have to be worrying about premiums or any of that shit anymore.
Yeah.
You won't have to fill out ridiculous paperwork.
Yeah.
You won't have to wonder if the doctor you're going to is the one on your plan, or they're going to find a way to fuck you over.
Yeah.
Which they will, because that's half of their job.
Yeah.
It's to fix you and then fuck you.
And you know what? If you don't like it, you can just go and pout in the corner.
Yeah. It's gonna
then die from not having health care.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
I swear, every time I come across one of those assholes on Twitter, it's like, you know, it's like, but it's not voluntary. You're forcing me to pay for somebody else's health care. First of all, if you're paying for health insurance, you're already paying for somebody else's health care.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's what insurance is.
How do you
think
insurance works?
Yeah.
You think when you pay into an insurance company, they're then using the same money you pay with them?
They're just setting up an account just for you that says Brandon's account.
Yeah, no, that's not what's happening. What happens is they pull all that money together, and then, you know,
they put it in their wallets, then they occasionally take a couple out for people.
Yeah. It's basically the only service in the United States where you pay a company for a product and then they do everything they possibly can legally and illegally to not give you that product.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you're not – so, yeah, you are already paying for somebody else's health care.
Yeah.
It's number two. Are you the one person in this country that actually likes the health care system? All parts of it.
Yeah.
The $900 that just came out of my check to pay copays just says no.
Like, don't you like figuring out what your copay is going to be, what your bill is going to be, and then hoping that that's actually what they're going to ask for?
Yeah. And when they don't tell you that the at-home sleep study is a $300 copay on top of the $550 first copay for the actual CPAP machine. Oh, it's just grand.
Mm-hmm.
Just grand. Love it. Couldn't ask for anything better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, just so everybody knows, we're going to get universal health care in this country.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. This isn't a fucking debate anymore.
No.
Either we get it from the ballot or we're going to start, you know, doing this shit at gunpoint, but it's going to happen. We lose too many goddamn Americans every goddamn year for not having health insurance.
Mm.
You having to pay a few extra cents in taxes, you can just fucking deal with it.
Yeah.
But next up, Chris Matthews retired.
Bye.
Yeah. Don't let your door hit your gigantic ass on the way out.
Yeah, retired.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it wasn't even because of what he said about Bernie.
Mm. No.
Nope.
It's because he has some women that file complaints about him.
Oh, yeah. That shit goes back a while.
Yeah. And he's just like, whatever. I got my money. I'm out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And basically left MSNBC at the – basically just find anybody they could to take over the show for the time being.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what the guy's name is, but nobody cares.
Nope. And he's like, I mean, that, because, yeah, I mean, basically, that's really what got people paying attention was the fact that, you know, he basically kept making all these weird Nazi and mass murder references to Bernie Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
And, but no, that's not the reason he's going. The reason he's going is because,
Poonhound.
Yeah. Also, he just sucks.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, he just sucks. He's a terrible anchor. He's a shit interviewer. I mean, he's a fucking softy when it comes to actually asking questions. Why was he on that network for so goddamn long?
Because
Fox News didn't have any openings.
I was going to say a lot of people probably specifically requested him to get soft interviews.
Hmm.
And so... having him around was probably good for their guest draw.
Yeah, well, moving on from there, NASA is assuring us that the giant large asteroid that is hurtling towards the Earth next month will safely pass us by.
God damn it.
Yeah, it's like...
It's just bad when you're, like, hoping like, for a just, apocalyptic events.
Like, come on, God, you a pussy or something.
Yeah, let's see. April 29th, an asteroid estimated to be between 1.1 and 2.5 miles wide will fly by the Earth. Large enough to cause global effects should it hit the Earth, but it's not going to.
Nope, it's going
it's
to...
pass by about 4 million miles away from Earth.
Yeah.
Going at a brisk 19,000 miles an hour.
Yeah.
That'll be at 4:56 a.m.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Probably. Not sure what part of the Earth it's going to pass by, but I'm sure people will take pictures of it. If they
Yeah.
It's fairly big, so you might be able to see it, part of it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Let's see how it happens. Mm-hmm. All right.
And just to give you an idea of how far away that is, the moon is about 240,000 miles away. Mm. So it's still a considerable distance, about...
like 10 moons away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. It's basically at the point now, where we're all like, come on, apocalypse. Just the tiny little bit mass extinction event. That's all we ask for.
Oh, don't threaten me with a good time.
End of days, bitches!
Yeah, we'll just have it land.
There's our show title.
Yeah,
just have it land in the Atlantic Ocean. So doesn't do too much. It just takes out Washington D.C.
Yeah, and a good chunk of the Florida Georgia coast.
Hey, you have to move a little bit, Brandon.
Well, no, I'll be fine. I'm in Central Georgia. Fuck, I'll have oceanfront property.
Yeah. Anyways,
I'll be in Atlanta chilling on the beach with Lee. But yeah, speaking of NASA, they announced that they're not going to be able to communicate with the Voyager 2 until at least 2021.
Yeah, this is because they are upgrading the 230-foot wide radio dish in Australia that they use to communicate with it.
Yep.
Yeah, that'll be worked on until January of next year.
Mm-hmm.
So they basically put Voyager 2 into kind of a state that it'll be able to kind of handle what it's doing on its own for the time being.
Yeah, semi-auto.
Yeah. A reminder, this is a satellite we sent out in the 70s.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the amount of tech in it is kind of crazy old for what you expect to be out in space.
There's damn fine engineering, though.
Yeah.
And I believe like the amount of time it takes to get information back is just takes a while.
Hmm.
It's kind of one of those things like you can take your break while you're waiting on it to get back.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
You're not talking about megabytes transferred per second. You're talking about bytes.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Transferred per minute.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
All right. And speaking of more space stuff, SETI at Home announced it will be done at the end of this month.
Yep. It's done. They found it. It's all good. Don't need a SETI at Home anymore.
No.
Yeah, it's basically stopping because they've reached a point of diminishing returns. Basically, we've analyzed all the data we need for now, and so the people that are kind of in charge of this are basically just going to take all the results and information they've gotten and sort of go over it and figure out, write up a journal paper for it.
Mm-hmm. Also, there's been kind of a fall off of people using the client.
But I think that's been – it's kind of just that the amount of data that they need to actually go through is not that much anymore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's just going to have to wait for the paper that covers 20 years of data, started in 99. Because I believe at certain points they've had to say, okay, we're done with this, we got to get something else to work on.
Yep.
Switch like data sets they're working on, that kind of thing.
Yeah. All right. And now for the entertainment portion of the show, the Dixie Chicks. You guys remember the Dixie Chicks? I remember the Dixie Chicks.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were fucking song, massive when I was a kid.
Yeah, and then they criticized Bush, and then they got blacklisted.
Yep. Well, not quite. They released another album and actually had a hit with I'm Not Ready to Play Nice. Yeah. But then they basically went dormant for about a decade. And they're actually releasing a new single called Gaslighter.
Yeah, that's the same name as the
name of the album,
too.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And contrary to what the whiners think, it's not about Trump.
Nope.
I believe it's about one of their exes.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's a pretty good song. Mm. Yeah.
Not my style.
That's pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm. Same.
Some good like Nazi imagery in there, too. Mm. But yeah.
The Chicks, they're still around.
Yep. Yeah. I saw a lot of people like, oh, they need to get out of this country. They don't support them. It's like, fucking Bush is gone.
Yeah.
His
also, they've since been proved. They've since been vindicated.
Yeah.
By history.
Yeah.
I didn't put this in the outline, but the Bush grandkid ran in Texas for the primary for the House seats for House seat there. Mm. And got beat.
Yep.
So maybe the Bushes are done for good.
I hope so.
God, I hope so. Hmm. All right, next up, No Time to Die, a film, is being postponed until November 2020. Take a wild guess why.
Yep.
Coronavirus.
Mm. Yeah, they don't want to be getting people into theaters. At least on April 2nd.
Yeah.
April 2nd and April 10th. So they postponed it to, let's see, the November 12th in the UK, November 25th in the US. So I wonder when Thanksgiving is this year.
Yes.
Let's see. That's about it. The 26th would be the Thanksgiving, so that'll be the last week of the month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is weird because, okay, that's a big movie.
But
yeah, are like other studios gonna go, oh, we really can't launch this movie because people are gonna go to the theaters and see it and they might get sick.
That's gonna cause a clusterfuck all its own.
Yeah. Let's put dozens of people in an enclosed room for a few hours.
What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah.
But we've been doing that for, you know, decades. So
yeah, at the same time, I don't think they're gonna shut the whole movie industry down over it.
No. Well, hopefully not, but
I think they're at least trying to see, like, where this is going to be in, you know, a month or 2 months.
Yeah.
See if that's going to affect their – when they're trying to launch it. Yeah. And, like, this one especially is, like, a James Bond movie will do fine any time of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's – like, that and any Disney movie and all that will be fine whenever.
Mm-hmm.
Which, speaking of which, we'll be having Disney will be having – or Marvel will have movies coming out pretty soon here next couple of months. So, yeah, it'll be a litmus test seeing how these big studios decide what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Small ones won't have any choice because they're going
to
need any business they can get.
Hmm. I wonder if some of these studios decide to just forego the theaters entirely and start putting their movies up on streaming day one.
That would be an interesting
side effect.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
theater industry will hate it. But
yeah.
they'd be at this point they would be in a position where they can't really say too much and it's like
you're not going to get many people coming out anyway.
Yeah.
So good luck with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, just put them up for rent on the day you're supposed to launch.
Yeah.
And you'll get more money. In time, at certain times. Yeah.
And then COVID-19 will have changed the movie industry inadvertently.
Mm.
Dare I say for the better.
Yeah. Just a thought.
Yeah. Some movies already do this.
Yeah.
I think like Mandy, the Nick Cage movie, did that. Where you could rent it the same day it launched in theaters. But
The Irishman did.
Also that's,
straight to Netflix. And I think we're going to be seeing a lot of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that'd be a big opportunity for Netflix, Amazon Prime, Hulu, these different companies. Like, you know, we're like, hey, you guys are worried about this thing?
Their opportunity, here it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then the Academy is going to have to get their shit together and realize that, yeah, they have to change their rules because then all of the good movies are not showing up at theaters anymore.
Yeah. We were already coming up on that.
Yeah.
There is the half of the movie industry, the industry that's making TV stuff. It's like, wow, what took you guys so long?
Yeah, seriously.
And next up, we know some projects. Taika Waititi, fresh off of his Oscar win for Jojo Rabbit. He's working on two Charlie and the Chocolate Factory series for Netflix.
Two.
These are animated series, too.
Yeah.
One based on the world of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and another based on the Oompa Loompa characters.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to guess that's going to be their attempt to do Minions.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah. Do I need to remind everybody where the Oompa Loompas actually came from originally?
Africa.
Ah, they're a village in Africa, and they're basically pygmies that he enslaved, basically.
Yeah, though I would give Taika Waititi the credit to recognize that.
Yeah, he would. It's not going to go down like that.
No.
Yeah. I mean, he just made a movie about Hitler. An imaginary version of Hitler. But still, people went into that being like, how are you going to make a comedy with Hitler?
And turns out you can make a really good one.
Yeah.
If you do it right.
Yep.
Because it's not actually Hitler.
Yeah. No.
It's a kid's version of Hitler.
Idealized version of Hitler.
Yeah.
What a kid would think Hitler would be like.
Slowly but surely becomes like the actual Hitler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As he starts to realize how fucked Nazi Germany really is.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, so this is going to be interesting to see like what he comes up with.
Yeah.
I would bet it's going to be, at the very least, entertaining.
Yeah. You know, something else about Jojo Rabbit also proves the idea that quote-unquote political correctness has destroyed comedy. No. It's just that a lot of those people crying about political correctness in comedy were always kind of shitty comedians.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're assholes.
Yeah. They were never really that good to begin with.
Yep.
As, let's see... the shows will retain the quintessential spirit and tone of the original story while building out the world and characters far beyond the pages of the doll book for the very first time.
Mm-hmm.
Netflix is saying, which means, like, we're going to take out the racist shit.
Probably a good
idea. Make sure you forget about that part. And, yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see how it turns out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's got a Thor... The new Thor movie, Thor Love and Thunder, which I guess they just revealed that Christian Bale is going to be playing the villain in that.
Mm.
So there's another big actor coming into the Marvel Universe.
Yep. All right. And finally, last thing for the night, we got a trailer for Disney's Artemis Fowl.
Which, yeah, I haven't read the original book, but basically everything I've seen in the comments is... let's see, what did I see? It was Percy Jackson fans saying, like, hey, welcome to the club.
Yeah.
Of mismanaged adaptations.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much.
What I'm guessing is they've changed some things.
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
I just looked at it and I was like, okay, this is a thing that exists.
I love that. I love this right here. Artemis Fowl fans. What's going on? This isn't Artemis Fowl. Percy Jackson fans. Oh, first time.
Yeah. I wonder how long before. I'm not even going to go there.
No.
Yeah. So, yeah. I do believe we have ourselves a show, folks.
Yes, we do.
All right, so I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you've got a question, a comment, or something you want us to read on the air, you can get in contact with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We got a link for you in the show notes. And I was going to read some spam, but we're already pulling pretty late as it is, so we're just going to wait until next week.
Yeah.
On top of all that, I would also like to remind you that on top of Apple Podcasts, you can also catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, or pretty much any kind of podcast aggregator you can think of. And if we're not there, just wait a minute. Yeah, wait 5 minutes. We'll be on there pretty shortly.
Yeah, we spread like a virus.
Oh. Yeah, we're like herpes that way. Oh, my God. But, yeah, so, anyway. With that, I have been your host for the most, Brandon Perkins, and for Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Mifflin, Chris Elogi, and Teresa Sammons. Good night. Please don't use bleach as a disinfectant for your hands.